have become more casual. We're all probably dressed here more casually than we would have been 20 years ago. And I think the point here is what the Lord said to Samuel. Samuel was to choose the new king after Saul. And Saul had been a very tall, handsome man, very impressive. It says he was head and shoulders above everyone else. I remember standing in Northumberland Street once, and there was this man standing there, and I watched all the crowds go past, and no one came above here on him. I imagine Saul was something like that. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him," that's Saul. "For the Lord, outward appearance, we look at the clothes that people wear, we look at what they look like, but the Lord looks on the heart." And as we come to church, surely it's what our hearts are like, and what our hearts are is what God is looking at, perhaps more than what we're wearing. So let's think for a moment about the origin of clothes. Why do we wear clothes? Well, living on the North Sea here as we do, in the winter when there's a northeast wind, you're jolly glad that you're wearing some clothes. But it's interesting, none of the other of God's creatures wear clothes, except for one. We were out at the airport, we take the boys, our grandchildren. We like to go down to the back of the airport to watch the planes. And my oldest grandson said to me, "There's a blue horse." And there's a field of horses. And I looked, and this horse was wearing a blue coat. But it was a man that had put it on the horse, not the horse himself. So we're the only ones to wear clothes. Why do we wear clothes? As we were created by God, we read in Genesis 2:25... that the man and the wife and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. But then the temptation came. And the serpent said to Adam, "God knows that when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and this it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And then God himself, the Lord, before he threw them out of the garden, God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. And he sent them out of the garden to work the ground with hard labor. We wear clothes as much as anything to hide our guilt and our shame. We wear them to keep warm as well. But there is that other reason why we're wearing clothes. Now, as Christians, we've been made new again, but we're not going to dispense with clothes. But the Apostle Paul takes the idea of Genesis 3, where clothes were made to cover our exposed guilt and shame, and talks about what we, as Jesus' disciples, should wear. And I've asked Jenny if she'll come and read that passage from Colossians chapter 3 to us.
This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And it's entitled Rules for Holy Living. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you for that, Jenny. In the passage there that Jenny just read to us, Paul uses two pictures to show how we must live as Christians based on what has happened when we put our trust in Jesus. The picture of death and new life, and the picture of putting off old clothes and putting new clothes on. We've already been raised to new life. Our resurrection is now a certainty through the merits of Jesus' death and resurrection being applied to us. The moment we come to faith, that is applied to us, and we are raised new people in principle. We haven't yet got to that resurrection, but it's an assured certainty. If you are a Christian, then you already have that new resurrection life. And Paul says your old life has died. It's a new life, a new start. And Paul talks about putting off the old life and putting on the new life. And the Greek words for putting off and putting on are exactly the words that we would use for taking off clothes and putting on clothes. He talks about putting off the old life and putting on the new life. Just like putting on a glove that completely covers your hand, we are to put on, or we have put on, the new life that we have in Jesus. When we return to God through putting our faith in Jesus, all the things that went wrong at the fall, Adam's fall into sin, start getting put right. And picking up the picture of what we saw in Genesis, Paul lists all the sins that bring shame upon us and which separate us from God. He speaks of sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene talk, and lying. Paul says, put them off and put on new clothes, clothes fit for members of the kingdom. Now, three times Paul says, put on. And we're going to look at those three. The first time Paul says, put on, it's in the past tense. He says, you have put on the new self, having put off the old self. It's past tense. It's already happened. You have put on the new self by coming to Christ. We are now already new people, new creations in Christ. That is a fact. But whilst we live in this life, we've not yet fully got rid of the dying remnants of the old life. I like to think it's a bit like the sort of death you get in an opera or a very melodramatic play, where the death throes go on for about 10 minutes. I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. We're in that place there. We are dead, but we still retain some of the remnants of the old life. But they're being done away with. They're being rectified. So the situation is that if we've put off the old self and put on the new self, but we don't wear the right clothes, then we're once again, as it were, half naked and open to shame. Because now, as Christians, we're not wearing the clothes fit for Jesus' people if we haven't put on the new clothes and the new life fully. The second time Paul says put on, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. These are the fruit of the Spirit, aren't they? Behavior and nature that have the character of Jesus himself. And this is what should be seen in us who believe. And they should characterize our whole lives. They are, using the picture that we're talking about, God's clothes for us to wear. And then the third time he says, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. There's some thought here that Paul might be quoting Plato. Because Plato says two things cannot be held together without a third. They must have some bond of union between them. And the fairest bond is that which most completely fuses and is fused into the things which are bound. Paul here says love is the cement, the glue that makes the things we do and are hold together as one complete outfit. Love is the glue of perfection. It gives perfect harmony to the whole person. We talk about someone having a green outfit or a blue outfit. And what we mean by that is that the color green is what sort of links all the bits together and makes it a whole nice outfit. We are to wear an outfit that has love at its center. It's love running through everything we do in our lives that makes our life that of a Jesus life. And the outcome of putting on these kingdom clothes, if I can call them that, is threefold. First of all, it brings peace. Being right with God in what we are and what we do brings peace. Since Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, people's lives have been blighted by angst and worry and guilt and shame. Coming back to Christ brings peace. Peace as we know we are now right with God. We now have a new hope. and an assured future. And old enemies don't have to be enemies anymore. Secondly, it brings unity. In the kingdom, there is unity. We should be united. Paul says we are called to be one body. He talks of perfect harmony through putting on love. And everyone can be included. He lists here the main divisions in the ancient world. He says there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but in Christ all is all and all are one. He lists these divisions of the ancient world, and the same is true today. Divisions between people are healed and of no consequence in the kingdom, because we're all one body in Christ. And all of this, our new life, our new clothes, our newfound peace, our unity, lead us to praise God as we build up one another and in praise and thankful song. So, by way of conclusion, what shall we wear? Well, I think we should put on the glorious clothes that the King gives us. This is a real life, rags to riches story. He lifts us from the gutter to make us fit to appear before the King. We've been thinking about the clothes we wear. Now, if you see someone walking down the street wearing a very striking fashion, it makes your head turn. People notice. They're all looking at that person. It gets noticed. Well, the spiritual clothes we wear as Christians gets noticed. Jesus said that it's through our love for one another that all people will know that we're his disciples. It gets noticed if people see how we behave towards one another and how we behave towards them. It's a great witness to who we are and what we believe and what we're about. We've been thinking over this period while we're meeting in the school here of rebuilding and renewal. We hope in due course, sometime probably in December, to go back to a lovely new building with nice fresh paint, looking really good, nice and warm too with new heating. But we've been renewed in Jesus. Therefore, put on the clothes fit to appear before the King. That is the fashion for Christians.